This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
And thanks to the help we get, you get, from ASE certified technician Dan Burns from Lloyd's Automotive, we'll help you keep it running. If you need to bring in your car, your truck, your van for service at your favorite dealer, your favorite shop, Dan will give you some idea of what might be ailing. Good morning to you, Dan Burns.
Good morning, Denny Long. How are you?
You're sounding really good. Let's be straight here. We've invited Dan down to the studio, a place I have not been seated for like a year and a half. Am I old coffee cup still hanging around there or anything, Dan?
You know, I'm sitting in your chair and drinking out of your coffee cup, so I hope you don't mind. I feel like I'm you.
Good luck, and good luck with both, by the way, the coffee cup and me. But Dan is going to help you out this whole hour. And I have to tell you also, because of huge technical difficulties, you can still get in here to ask Dan your question and all the shows, but you're going to have to do it by text because the phone system is kaput. No telephones. How about that, this high-tech age? If you need to get in here to CCO and you want to ask Dan a question about your vehicle, send a text. 651-989-9226. 651-989-WCCO is an easier way to remember it, I guess, for your text messages. And that's the deal today. What's been happening at Lloyd's Automotive, Dan? What are folks coming in for this last day of July here, isn't it? Wow.
Well, you know, it's still, Denny, is an awful lot of hot weather-related stuff, vehicles that have gotten in trouble with the hot weather. And, you know, you'd think that after this amount of time, everything would have played out, but not so. It's still really, really busy, and there's still a lot going on.
I don't see any changes, you know, that much in the, besides all the smoke out there, is the temperature this week looks to be, again, mid to upper 80s. So, yeah, summer hot weather is still with us. Again, if you have a question for Dan, text, send the text. That's the only way we'll get it answered, 651-989-9226. Let's see, Dan. They're coming in right now, as a matter of fact. Here's a 2003 Buick Century. Temperature gauge runs a bit hot. Do cooling fans have more than one speed in this vehicle? Seems it's only running on low speed when the air conditioning is running. The manual shows three fuse relays. Could they be bad?
Well, any of that, I believe that there probably is two speeds on that vehicle to turn it up. And if the cooling fan is cycling, then in other words, if it's turning on and off ever, then it thinks it's doing its job. One thing that we have found quite a bit of this time of year after the spring season is that the front of the radiator can actually get plugged with debris. So one of the things that I might recommend is that you take the garden hose and gently rinse off the front of the air conditioning condenser and the radiator, which you can't see. But that space between the air conditioning condenser and the radiator gets clogged with a cottony-like material like you would see on your air conditioning compressor outside on your home. And with, you know, you have, from time to time, you have to rinse that off with the garden hose too. And this is the same thing. If that gets plugged, it doesn't allow enough air through, and that is often what causes this trouble. Generally speaking, if the air conditioning fan runs ever, then of course you know that the fan itself is good. But I'm not sure what the controller is trying to do with it. If you turn off the air conditioning completely and see if the fan comes on ever just by temperature, and if it never does, then we've got some diagnostics to do on the temperature control side of the air fan. The fan comes on for sure when you turn the air conditioning on. It needs that. But it's also controlled by the temperature of the engine, and so if you turn the air conditioner off, let the engine come up to operating temperature and see if the fan comes on. And if it never comes on, then we've
good. Say, I've got a 2005 Chrysler Town and Country Touring with a 3.8 engine, and maybe a month ago I turned the car off. And I was getting out of the car, and I heard a noise, and it was the fan was still running. And so I disconnected the battery and went online and did some research. And they said it's probably the fan motor relay. And so I replaced the fan motor relay, and that took care of the problem of the fan still running, but now the fan doesn't work. Okay, so I replaced the fan heater heat sensor, and the fan still doesn't run even when I put the air conditioning on. Any ideas?
Yeah, you know, I do. The fan relay, it's either the power side of the fan or the ground side of the fan. Without looking at a wiring diagram, I don't know which side it's operating. It could easily be either side, but something's missing, obviously. So the place to start is find a wiring diagram for that vehicle, and you'll find that the power supply comes from somewhere, perhaps the relay, but maybe not that likely. And then the ground side comes from the other side, perhaps the relay or somewhere else. And you need to track that, starting at the fan and go backwards and see when you turn the air conditioning on, the fan's supposed to run. You need to follow the power wire back to see where you're losing power. And maybe it's a fusible link or something like that that's causing the fan to not work. But without a wiring diagram and a little bit of research, you're going to spend an awful lot of money guessing on parts, and I would not do that. I think if you're comfortable doing some diagnostics yourself, you should do that, or it probably would be cheaper for you to bring it into a shop and have them do some diagnostics and find out where you're missing your either power or ground supply to the fan. I'll tell you that once you have all the information in front of you and you start tracking it back, it usually goes very quickly. So even if you take it in, I don't think you would expect to spend a lot of money to get it figured out.
That's good. Sounds smart. All right. Very good. Ann, you hang on. You're going to be next on the phone. Then we'll pick up on some text messages as well. CCO's Car Care Show every Saturday in the 7 o'clock hour. Call us or text us, 651-989-9226. 69 degrees in the Twin Cities here on News Talk 830 WCCO. And good Saturday morning to you. Welcome back to CCO's Car Care Show. Denny Long here, along with ASE certified technician Dan Burns from Lloyd's Automotive, located exactly where on Grand Avenue, Dan?
Well, we are at 982 Grand Avenue, Denny, which is right between Lexington and Victoria. You can find us on the web at LloydsAutomotive.net, L-L-O-Y-D-S, LloydsAutomotive.net, or give a call as soon as this morning, 651-228-1316.
And have some coffee or shop around there. Great avenue for all of the above, including Lloyd's.
You know, it's so fun, Denny, because all the coffee shops and restaurants and everything are back open. So
yes.
When you are getting your car fixed, there are currently some very comfortable places to go sit and wait and have a snack or have a cup of coffee or a glass or a cup of tea. And it has not been that way for the past year. For the past year,
true.
If you dropped your car off, you could not wait in our office, and there was no place to go because there was nothing else open. So it was very frustrating, but we're back at it, and it's very comfortable now.
I think I might find something wrong with one of my cars so I can come over and do that very thing. I'll think of something just to browse through. All right, 651-989-9226. We'll get you that phone number before Dan leaves us today, too, if you need some help there. Ann, we promised, in Circle Pines would be next on the phone. Ann, thank you for waiting. What's your question for Dan?
I have a flaky turn signal situation. Part of the time they work, and then they'll stop working for a while, and so I'm thinking I'll take it in. Well, then it starts working again. It can happen the same day. You know, I can stop and go one place and get back in, and then they don't work.
You know, there's actually the turn signal system is a more complicated electrical system than you would think. And it's got even more complicated with the advancement in technology with cameras and lighting and all that sort of stuff. So they've gotten more sophisticated. But that being said, if the turn signals are intermittently working, then it's probably at a switch type source, which would be the turn signal switch itself. Or the flasher, whatever the flasher unit is that causes the turn signals to turn on and off the way that they do, or at a connection. And I've seen them all. They're all pretty common. And so I think that if you bring it in, you're probably going to need to get some help, because even trying to locate a turn signal flasher is just about impossible these days. It's very complicated. And without the information to know where to look and how to find them, I don't know that you could do that. So I think you're going to have to bring it into the shop to get some help. But the good news is that you can know that it won't be too complicated or too expensive to do the diagnostic on it.
Yeah, years ago it used to be pretty easy to find, as I recall, to find that capacity.
The turn signal motors used to always, or the turn signal flashers used to always be right on the steering column on just about all cars, and that's just not the case anymore.
That's typical. All right, here's a question, a text I can relate to. Is it okay to start your vehicle with the air conditioner switches on, or is it best to turn them off prior to starting? I always shut everything down.
Well, that's not a bad habit to have, Denny, but it's just fine to start the vehicle with those on, because they all have delays built into the system before they would turn on anyway. So, like, for example, when you start the car, the air conditioning compressor does not immediately engage. It needs to gather all the information that it needs before it can safely turn on. And that takes a period of time, you know, a short period of time, but it takes a period of time after you start the car. So things don't, in a split second, come to life. They hesitate for a little bit. And what happens nowadays is so many people have remote starts in their car, so they leave the air conditioner on purpose so they can, as they're walking up to the car, push the button and get things going so it cools off a little bit.
Yeah, makes sense. All right. You can call in your question or send a text, 651-989-9226. Here's a 2005 Impala, 77,000 miles on it. Every 12 to 24 months, the heat AC fan goes out. I have replaced it three times. It just went out again. What do you think?
Well, rarely would it be. So, I mean, if it truly is the fan itself that is has failed, rarely would it be something causing that to happen. So, in other words, it would not usually be that there's a power problem or a ground problem. But that being said, when you bring it in this time to be repaired, you could ask them to check that. You could ask them to check to be sure that the power supply is a good solid power supply and that the ground side of the system is being completely grounded properly. That would be rare for that to be a problem, but that's an easy check. You know, just with a voltage drop, we can test that stuff to be sure that it's working properly. And then the other thing that I would recommend is maybe switch brands this time. If you've put three of the same brand of blower motor in and it's continuing to be a problem, maybe you would do better to switch that up and go to a different supplier and see if you have better luck.
Okay, very good. Dan, we need to take a quick break, have a look at that forecast, see if it's still going to be warm weather around these parts. We'll do that and be back with more of the show here on 830 WCCO. Stay with us. Hey, good morning. Welcome back to CCO's Car Care Show. Denny Long here, along with ASC certified technician Dan Burns from Lloyd's Automotive on beautiful Grand Avenue in St. Paul, helping you out by text this morning. As I mentioned earlier, well, if you just joined us, our phone system is down, but we still have the text method. So if you have any kind of a car care question, send a text at 651-989-9226. And Daniel, we have a bunch of those for sure. All right, let's see. Who is next here? A 2003 Honda Odyssey. There's a squealing sound coming from the engine compartment, and the battery light is lit. It still starts and runs fine. Is it a bad alternator or maybe a loose belt?
Well, I don't think a loose belt would cause the battery light to be on. The telltale information we have here is that the battery light's on, and that needs to be checked out. I suspect what's going on is the squealing noise is coming from the alternator, and if that's the case, that would certainly cause the battery light to be on also. So my recommendation is you bring it in and have an electrical system test done, and you'll probably find that the alternator is what's squealing, and you know you'll they'll take appropriate action and taking care of that for you.
Okay. This listener, Dan, says they have a 2013 Chevy Impala, 180,000 miles on it. The check engine light is on, has been reset twice. They list a couple of different codes that show up. The garage wants $175 just to diagnose it. Can I ignore the check engine light, or do I pay that every time the light comes on? What do you think?
Well, that's a funny question or tricky question because $175 to diagnose it is probably right. That's probably what it's going to take. You know, they're saying it's going to take an hour and a half to figure out what's going on with the check engine light, and you know, pulling the code is one thing. It only takes a couple of minutes to do that. But actually going through the test procedure of checking the components and the wiring and all that is what takes time. And that, yeah, it, of course, have to pay for that. And so I wouldn't say that every time your check engine light comes on, you have to pay $175 to get it shut off. But in order for the check engine light to stay off, it needs to be diagnosed properly and the repair needs to be made. And then your check engine light will stay off for sure.
That makes sense. Makes sense. So again, 651-989-9226. This listener has a classic car. They want to replace the radiator. thinking of getting an aluminum one, but heard a few comments for and against aluminum. One was you might need a second electric fan to help cool it. Others say aluminum is more efficient than copper. What is your opinion?
Well, I'm old-fashioned, so I like the old stuff. I like the copper, but you know, with metal prices and so forth, copper radiators get to be more expensive. And the reason that on many cars nowadays they have aluminum and plastic radiators is that they're lightweight, and that's a big deal for fuel economy. With a classic car, that's not quite so important. You don't care as much about that. So, but at the end of the day, if I had a choice, I probably would get the copper radiator for longevity and corrosion and all the other things. I think the copper would serve you better.
Dan, from time to time, we our listeners want to get an update on what you're, if anything, seeing at Lloyd's as far as catalytic converter thefts. Is that still going on?
It is. I heard one, and you hear them when they come in.
Sure.
I heard it come in yesterday, but it's been a while. I would say that the catalytic converter theft has slowed down a lot. A lot of people have done a lot, or have done taken action to protect their catalytic converters. There's shields and things that you can put on, and we've even welded some rebar to get in the way so that they can't get down there and steal the catalytic converters. But at any rate, it's slowed down. It's not that they're not still worth a lot of money. They are, but people are way more aware. And I think as people become aware and start watching and looking, then the thieves get nervous and find another way.
Phew. Amazing. All right. Thanks for that text. Here's another one, 2013 F-250. During this hot weather, texter says, and after the truck is up to operating temperature, waiting at a stoplight, the oil light came on a couple of times. Touching the gas a little, the light goes off. Would changing to a higher viscosity oil help, or do these oil light sensors start failing, or what?
I'd say all of that is true. The procedure would be if you brought that into my shop, we would remove the fuel, or the oil pressure sensor, and put a mechanical gauge in there. And we would actually read what the oil pressure is doing at idle and hot and cold and all and so forth under all those conditions. If the oil pressure is in fact low, then we'd have to figure out why. Is it because the oil pump has lost efficiency and needs to be replaced? Or is it because the engine is old enough and has enough miles on it that it's just getting loose and the oil, you know, it's just not creating enough pressure because there's too much space for the oil to go in. Hmm. If the engine is actually wearing out and the oil pressure is a little bit low enough to turn the light on, then there's not much we can do about it. We can replace the engine. That's a big deal. But if the oil pressure is normal, and the manufacturer has specifications for that, then there is a chance that the sensor itself is failing, and then we would replace that sensor when we take our equipment back off. We'll put a new sensor in, and that should take care of your problem. But that's actually a pretty common way that an engine or that you get information or that the engine itself will tell you that it's getting old and worn out is that it won't hold oil pressure at idle.
Hmm. Does at Lloyd's do you guys replace engines? Put in new engines on vehicles from time to time?
Yeah,
still?
We sure do. But actually, you know, engines are so efficient anymore.
Yeah,
and expensive. It's not as often as you might think. Engines hold together, and usually by the time the engine fails, the rest, or so much has gone down or gone wrong with the rest of the vehicle that oftentimes people will say, well, I'm not going to do that. The car's not worth that kind of investment anymore. But on the other hand, cars have gotten so expensive that They still fix them, that's for sure.
Interesting. Here is a text, Dan, that says, what does the eco, ECO, mode change in the drivetrain on cars?
Well, it's measuring the conditions, you know, the way in which you're driving. If you're driving aggressively, you can't keep that eco light off. It's on. It shuts off all the time because you're driving too aggressively. But when you're driving just normally and that eco light is on, what it's telling you is that the engine is happy. It's not having to do any modifications with the computer to give it more power or to give it more fuel or anything like that. What it's telling you is that it's running as efficiently as it possibly can under the conditions, and that's the best way to drive the vehicle. Things that change, give you more power is things like timing and the quantity, the amount of time that the fuel injector's on, so it's adding more fuel. Things like that are things that are adjusted with that EcoLite.
I know we're going to take a break here in a moment, but I want to grab this text before we do. This texter thinking of buying a new Toyota Venza Hybrid. Now, they're offering a 10-year, 150,000-mile bumper-to-bumper maintenance package. Do you recommend the maintenance package? I guess, what would you call it, an extended warranty, I suppose?
Yeah, extended warranties are just an insurance policy, and if you're comfortable with insurance policies, if you want to plan that into your budget and just make the payments, whatever they are, and not have any other expenses, that's great. But on the other side of that is it is an insurance policy. They're making money on it, which means you probably won't spend that much on the vehicle, or odds are you won't spend that much. But I don't know. I'd say it's pretty much a toss-up. It's kind of a personal thing. If you like the insurance and you like the budget mm-hmm. part of that, then go ahead and do that.
Plus, I think in past shows, you've also said
if you like the insurance and you like the budget mm-hmm. part of that, then go ahead and do that.
Plus, I think in past shows, you've also said the caveat, read the fine print, right?
Well, we had that's exactly true, because we had one this week where the vehicle needed quite a bit of work. And by the time you read through all the fine print, pretty much none of what the vehicle needed was covered by the warranty. And that was really frustrating for the customer. So be careful of that.
Wow. Say. All right, we have more show to come here on this Saturday morning. Again, the phone lines are down, unfortunately, but the text line does work. So if you have a car care question, 651-989-9226. 62 degrees and smoky here in the Twin Cities. Keep in mind that the garden show coming along in the 8 o'clock hour, Julie Weisenhorn from the U of M will be answering your questions next hour. So keep that in mind via text, of course. Here on News Talk 830, this is WCCO. And good morning. Welcome back to this portion of CCO's Car Care Show. Again, if you're just joining us, Dan Burns from Lloyd's Automotive helping you out, as he's done for so many years here on CCO. We have no phone system. That's why we're dealing with just text messages today. So if you do have a question, and again, that same thing holds true for asking Julie Weisenhorn a question next hour on our Smart Garden Show. Text number is 651-989-9226. All right, Dan, let's see. Another shutting down at stoplight question. This is a 2016 Jeep, no longer shuts down at stoplights. It quit doing that this summer. Do I have a problem? Texter wants to know.
Well, a lot of people would say, no, you don't have a problem. That's perfect. But,
yeah, right.
But yeah, there's things that control that vehicle, the fact that the vehicle is whether it shuts off at a stoplight or not. One of the things, for example, is when the vehicle's cold, until it's come up to operating temperatures, our temperature, oftentimes it won't shut off. Or on some vehicles, if you don't push the brake pedal hard enough, the vehicle won't shut off. And so there's things like that that are built into the strategy of the shutoff portion at rest. And if one of those isn't working, then it's going to default to keep running all the time. And so there probably is something, if your vehicle stopped shutting off at the stoplight, there is something that's some sort of information that it's not getting, that it's or that the information that it's not happy with. But I'm not sure what that is. And we would have to do a little studying to understand what strategy your particular vehicle has on a Jeep, how that works, and then go from there and see what information it's not getting that's causing it to not shut off.
This other texter has a couple of different vehicles. Again, it's a additive. They wondered, is it okay to use Seafoam for cleaning the fuel injectors? One's a Dodge Ram 1500 4x4. The other's an Accord 6-cylinder. I guess it doesn't matter on that. What do you think about the Seafoam additive for cleaning?
I think it's fine. The manufacturers, none of the manufacturers or most of the manufacturers don't recommend fuel additives or oil additives or anything like that. They've got the vehicle engineered to run on what they want it to run on. So it's not part of their strategy or their engineering. But if it for some reason you think that it would be beneficial to your vehicle, it's certainly not going to hurt anything. And if it makes you feel good by doing that, then that's what you should do.
Very, very good. Timely question here. What's the impact, you think, of all this Canadian smoke on car air filters?
Well, it's probably the particulates are so small that it probably doesn't have anything to do with your air filter. I think they're probably getting right through. But that being said, it's pollution, and part of the reason that we have air filters for both the cabin of the vehicle and the engine is to catch these particulates, the large ones anyway. I don't think it has much to do with the running of your vehicle or the effect on your vehicle, but it certainly does on my health, and I worry about it. I don't like to be out in it. I've shortened my walks and I've shortened my time outside because I don't think it's good for me.
Yeah, and that's what's recommended too, and will be right through Tuesday afternoon, so keep that in mind. All right, let's see if we have time for a couple more text messages. 2017 Highlander, the push button start. If I leave it running, texter says, and walk away with a fob in my pocket, is the engine supposed to go off automatically?
It is not, and it will not. That's a kind of a safety factor. If something happens to your key fob, the vehicle, while you're driving along, should not be able to just shut off by itself, because that's not safe. So, no, that happens when you valet park your car. They're very careful about getting the key fob because, without the key fob, they're stuck. They can drive the car, they can park it and get it into play and all of that, but then when they go to get it again, they don't have a key. And so that causes a problem. But the vehicle without the key fob will continue to run until you shut it off. And then when you go to restart it, if you don't have the key fob, it won't work.
This texter wants to know what causes the vehicle to lose gas mileage. It's about half of what it used to be. One coil pack has been replaced. The engine still surges. Speedometer jumps up and down constantly while driving, especially on acceleration. But in general, what causes a vehicle or could cause a vehicle to lose gas mileage?
Well, it's either getting too much fuel for some reason, or it's needing too much fuel. If you're driving with the brakes on, or if there's a transmission problem, or if the exhaust is plugged, or a whole bunch of reasons that the vehicle would need to be adding fuel to get the power that it needs, that'll affect your gas mileage. So there's obviously something wrong if your gas mileage has gone in half, and you should get that in and get that fixed, because it's probably not good for the car or the engine in general. You need to give that some attention.
And we have a couple of minutes to go on the show. Here's a 2004 Honda Accord, 168,000 miles on it. The automatic transmission whines as it gets underway. After about 30 seconds, the small whine goes away. What I want the car to do is last until 2025 and then buy another one. Question is, do you think I should get it repaired while it's a small problem or just hope it hangs on?
Well, I think you should probably get it repaired while it's a small problem. It might be as simple as changing the fluid and the filter, which is good maintenance anyway. If there's a restriction of some sort, and it could be in the filter, that'll cause a whine. That's a reason that a pump whines usually, is because there's a restriction. So I would at least get the fluid and filter changed and see if that takes care of it. Beyond that, you might find that it's getting too expensive. And then you might want to switch to the let's just see how it does mode. But I would do the basics first.
Okay, very good. It looks like we're out of time. Dan, thanks so much for taking the time and heading downtown today. We appreciate that. If you're just joining us, we have no phone system here at CCO. It happens. And we hope to get that fixed here very soon. And that's why we don't hear Jack this morning as well. I tell you what, Dan, give us some information how we can find you guys at Lloyd's Automotive.
Well, you can find us on the web. We are at lloydsautomotive.net, L-L-O-Y-D-S, lloydsautomotive.net. You can come on over. We are at 982 Grand Avenue in St. Paul. Or give us a call as soon as this morning at 651-228-1316.
Excellent. And I will see you in a short bit of time, Dan.
Sounds good.
All right. Thanks very much, Dan Burns from Lloyd's Automotive. Julie Weisenhorn's in studio next hour. Julie from the U of M answering your lawn and garden questions. So keep those in mind. Again, also keep in mind we have no phones, but we will be glad to answer your lawn and garden questions by text 651-989-9226. Foggy, smoky right now, 62.